Well, good morning, school administrators. Can you all hear me and see me? Thumbs up. Okay, fabulous. Welcome. I'm so happy that you're here. And I know Suzanne and the principals that we have on the schedule today are excited to be here with you. We're supposed to start every meeting with an SEL moment. So I'm not going to do anything fancy, just tell you all to take a really deep breath. Breathe in, blow it out, and think about for the next 30 or 45 minutes, you get to just sit there and listen and enjoy yourself. And hopefully you won't have a lineup outside your door when this is over. I'm going to do just a quick little welcome and say, first of all, I appreciate Suzanne and all her hard work on development of this digital observation tool. And for the principals and the teachers who participated in it as well, we really appreciate them. So I think really critical at the very beginning is to make sure that you know and your teachers know this is a learning year with remote learning and digital learning in the classroom, and that this tool is a great opportunity for us as school leaders to have great conversations with our teachers about what effective instruction looks like when you're doing it in a digital or remote format. So of course we know that observation data gives us great information for seeing holes and gaps of our faculty as a whole and looking at progress over time. But this year particularly, we really want all administrators to emphasize that this is a year for learning. We don't expect everyone to be perfect right at the beginning. This isn't a gotcha. Similar to all other observations, mostly it's to provide us opportunity to give feedback and to have conversations about instructional practices. But we don't expect that at the end of the year, people will be marked down on their summative evaluations for something they did in October that perhaps they really progressed on throughout the year. So just help calm their fears and help them just remember what observations are really about, just having discussions about a snapshot in time. So before I turn the time over to Suzanne and our visiting principals, I just want to say, if you could all keep your cameras on, mics off, and then just do the little hand raising thing when you have a question or comment, and we'll make sure to get to you. And I think that's it, Suzanne.
All right, thank you, Patty. I appreciate this opportunity that I had to work with a great group of principals and some incredible teachers who really did some deep thinking about what this observation would look like. And anyway, a big thanks to all of them. Some of you probably know some of the teachers that were involved. As Patty mentioned, thinking about the purposes of the observation, pretty important stuff. Observations give you information about what's happening in your school, and it helps you identify what professional learning might be needed by the teachers in your school. And when you have those data points and you have conversations, post-observation conferences, you have a great opportunity to train and coach small groups of teachers and individuals in your building. So, and then finally, as Patty said, of course, they inform the summative evaluation, but this year, as we're all learning, we're not going to catch anybody being bad in, well, we might if they're bad, but we're not going to check. It's not going to be the one thing. So of course there would be other things that if there was something that needed correction, you would deal with. Let me give you a little bit of background about the work that went into this creation. And we started in the spring while we were all on remote learning and took a look at the teaching observation and really carefully went through each observation item to determine whether or not that observation item could address digital learning. And what we came to was that we believe that a digital learning observation actually looks a little bit different than a teaching observation. But we did keep the context within what does good instruction look like. And so if we go fully remote again, on the off chance that that happens, we have a way to gather information about what's happening in classrooms. And that's all digital at this point. So we worked through the spring and into the summer creating these observation items. And they're new, but they're not drastically different from teaching observations. Like the teaching observation, it's an unannounced drop-in visit where you might be looking at a number of different things. And it should last only about 20 minutes. I mean, you should be able to see pretty much everything you need to see in that amount of time. In that vein, I have asked two principals, Doug Forsgren and Travis Lund, who were both involved in the development, especially the deep conversations at the beginning about what this looks like and can it be used for both digital learning in classrooms as well as the learning that would take place fully remote if it came to that. There will be time at the end for questions. So if you have questions, if you'll put them in the chat box, I'll kind of follow them and try to put them together and group them so that Travis and Doug and Patty and I can address those questions at the end. Doug and Travis, which one of you would like to begin?
I'm happy to go, Suzanne.
Great, thanks, Doug.
So I was asked to kind of share a little bit about two different aspects that we've had at the elementary school as we're already 4 days a week with remote Friday. And then we've already had, you know, all of us have already had the fully remote. First of all, just to reinforce a little bit what Suzanne said, observations, I feel like observations are my opportunity to really give quality feedback to teachers. As I do little walk-ins and walk-throughs and all that kind of stuff, that's great. I don't always find the time to meet with them after those, but I always find time to meet with them after a formal observation, and I love it. It's my opportunity to get to know them, to see. I know it's just a glimpse into their teaching and all that, but it really gives me an opportunity to sit down and just say, hey, I saw this. This was excellent. Really focus in on the positive. Where can we go next? Get their information and their opinions on things. And this tool is no different in that aspect. It really shouldn't be any different in the sense that this should be a tool that we're using to give feedback to teachers. As I said, this isn't, you know, with this being the first year of using this, well, with frankly, I think as principals, as we're learning how to use this, we have to be mindful of the fact that we still need to understand this tool better, and take that into account as we do our summative evaluations. But this should be something that we sit down with them and look at and give them direct feedback and give them opportunities to give us their perspective on how they think they're accomplishing it, so we have that dialogue with each other. With fully remote, this was when we started making this tool, we were in the midst of fully remote, or we started giving input to Patty and Suzanne. We were fully remote. And so admittedly, my mind was more, even though we had talked about we can use this in a hybrid setting, admittedly at the time, this is where my mind was. And so I feel like this tool can really easily be adjusted to fully remote. We went through and we talked about each aspect of things and how it applies to how it applies to in-person teaching versus students who are not there. But we still have best practices. We still have, so we should be able to use this in a fully remote way to be able to go into Canvas, take a look at their thing. Is this easily accessible to students? Are we able to monitor feedback in the check portion of things? We absolutely are. We can go into their chats and look at the feedback from the assignments or for questions, and we can get a feel for the tone. We can still get feedback on, you know, how to give feedback to students. We absolutely should be able to give feedback on the environment of that digital platform. So, you know, at an elementary level, I'm not a big cutesy guy, but the way that it's organized and the way that it feel does matter. And so there should be some effort put there. There should be, you know, we should be able to see expectations being set in their wording. And some of this we may even see, we can't rule out that when they're fully digital, we're still going to be having Zoom and Teams meetings. And so we'll still be able to see some of that in that setting as well. But we should be able to see a full building upon each other for concepts taught and instructional design, being able to see those things in order. And then I'm only supposed to take a couple minutes per. And so going in, where I kind of struggled was, now that we have kids 4 days a week and I'm going in and doing observations, I have to go in and now assess, what's my observation going to be here? Is this going to be a regular observation? It's going to be a digital observation. Already I've had this the sense where I've come in kind of thinking I was going to see a digital observation. I shifted and I've done the other direction as well, where I've shifted like, hey, this is great observation. They're pulling in Canvas. I can see how students in that class have been quarantined. And I can see that based on what they're using in class in Canvas, that a student at home should easily be able to follow along and accomplish those main concepts that we want them to accomplish. So when we've had this mixed model where the kids have been here the majority of the time with some remote Friday intervention and focus on the quarantine kids, that's really has been my focus, is the connection between, if I'm seeing this in class, then based on their Canvas and the digital tools that they're using, what's the experience of this kid at home going to be? And I'm trying to take that into account as I'm going in and I'm looking at their Canvas and the tools that they're using there. That connection's been the most important thing to me. And then I can give that feedback to the teacher when I'm meeting with them, is, hey, I really loved how you uploaded this PowerPoint, because I know this student can upload this PowerPoint. And then you had your formative checks throughout already built in. You had your exit ticket there so that you can see whether they're getting it or not, still informing our instruction for future use. The other thing I just wanted to mention is that this observations are just about getting to know your staff better. And this, again, is no different. We should be able to identify needs, struggles, and not pick them apart, but help identify what we can do to help them and what resources are available there to help them. That's what I really feel like this digital tool is going to be powerful at, is saying, what do you need? Based on my observations, I think we can work here. Do you know how to do that? Can I get you some help? Can I direct you to a resource? And that's what we do in person anyway, right? I'm directing people to my ELA, my coaches, to help them. I'm coaching them, and the digital tool is going to be the same way, except our resources are more varied and wide variety, and we can definitely help our teachers get the training that they so desperately need and want right now. So Suzanne, I hope that hits on all the points that you wanted me to hit on there, and I can answer questions later.
That's great, Doug. I appreciate your insight. Travis?
Yeah, okay. I was asked to kind of look at it from on the hybrid schedule, or when we get to a 5 day a week schedule. And to be honest, from my perspective, hybrid, 4 day a week, 5 day a week, it's all leading to the same thing, is blended learning. So my hope is that what teachers have done or what we've been doing this first term continues to build and carry over, and we can help as instructional leaders help that carry over to positive, productive, blended learning with our teachers. And that's where I see the digital observation tool coming in. I'm starting to see it already first term. I have not done one yet. I've looked at it multiple times and I've walked into the classroom. I'm hoping to do several of those second term, because where I'm, here's what I'm seeing and where I would apply it is it's a lot easier now to look at the plan section, to be honest with you. When you walk into a classroom, I'm seeing teachers tell students to open up their computer, go to Canvas. Let's look at what we're doing this week. Let's look at what we're doing today. You start to see objectives. You start to see instruction there that the teacher's paraphrasing or adding to or summarizing, but there's some information there. There's an outline, a plan. I'm starting to see where teachers are having them pull out their laptop. They're open, they're closed, they're open, they're closed. They're doing assessments through Canvas or a digital tool. They're doing activities, they're doing discussions. And I sat in one the other day where I was in there almost 30 minutes, and about 15 of those 30 minutes were involved with using Canvas back and forth, either as a discussion or with a quiz, a short quiz. So if we're getting to the point, in my opinion, where we get walking into a classroom and there's this blended environment, but the material, the learning, the assessment, a lot of the activities are done in a digital environment, I'm probably going to want to shift over to the digital observation tool. Otherwise, I'm having a tough time participating if I don't take my computer, open up, kind of check their Canvas account. Hopefully everybody knows how to do that. We could talk about that if needed, but I love doing that first thing. Now I walk into the teacher's class, I open up my computer. Even if they're not having students do it, I look into the teacher's Canvas course, see where they're at, see if it's matched right now with hybrid, to kind of see what they're instructing them to do. What are they doing the next day? What connects back to in-person learning? And I'm hoping as a principal that continues on as we get to 4 and 5 day, is that it's just that blended environment. But instead of opening your textbook and handing out a worksheet and distributing the test for paper and pencil, we're now utilizing the 1,000 computers that we've checked out on a daily basis. And in each class, in each course, and we're reviewing what we're learning and what we're doing. And teachers use that for assessment data to kind of guide their teaching. So that's where I'm using the digital tool. I think it matches. We gave feedback. We tried to match it with our observation tool that we already had. And there's some components that have been slightly modified or adjusted there, but it should be a great tool to switch over to. As you see a teacher moving to that blended format, there's face-to-face instruction, but it's leaning heavy on utilizing the tools and the format that's available to them.
Travis, in the chat, there are a number of people who are saying that they don't know how to get to the Canvas course. Could you kind of go through how you do that?
Yeah. Let me see if I can just share my screen here. So let me talk you through for a minute. Let me get my Canvas up on here. You want to just contact Lisa Lomax if you haven't yet, and you can get access to an administrator tool on your left navigation as you log into Canvas. If you've not logged in, looking from an administrative perspective, hopefully you've done it as a student, so you have some, familiarity with that. Can I share my screen?
Sure. Before you go on, I did talk to Lisa Lomax, and every principal should have access to every Canvas account in their building. So some of the questions are, can you see the special education teachers? Well, yes, you can. If they're at your location, principals should be able to see them. And I believe assistant principals can as well. Is that right, Travis?
Yeah, all mine can. So yeah. And if you log in, I think you have to, Suzanne, you have to allow participant sharing on the.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. My goodness.
I think if you go to share screen and click, I think you can allow others to do that. What you're going to see, if you log into Canvas, what you'll see on the left side. And by the way, I can do this with it. If anybody wants to, you know, call or FaceTime or go through Teams, I can walk you through individually too. But as you go through on your screen and you log in, okay, it looks like maybe I can do it now. You're going to see on the left side, okay, we good there? Can we see it?
Yep.
Thumbs up if you can see that. So as you log in as an administrator, you go to this left side and you'll see up at the top, it says account. And then right under it says admin. Okay. Quick side note, you can see we post global announcements for our staff and for students. Canvas is great for that, by the way. But if you go to the admin tool and you click on your school, up here at the top, you want to filter it down. So you want to go to session 1, 2021. That's this school year and first semester courses. You can search by course, or what I typically do is just by teacher. And then if I type in a teacher's name, that teacher's courses will come up. And so I can look at any course they teach and pop in. I can see their homepage. I mean, I'm looking at this, you know, I can access pretty much everything. I can go to their modules, their announcements, anything they've done, all their assessment data. So I might pop into this teacher's class and just kind of see what they've got. And this particular teacher has a student teacher with her as well. So they're kind of sharing some things, but I can kind of see how they've got it organized. I can look at individual assessments in here. And I use it, like Doug was saying, it's a good conversation tool afterwards, even if I just did a in-class observation with our previous, you know, what we've been using as our observation tool, I still may want to talk to them just about where they're at on Canvas, what help I can give, what they're using. So it's a good thing to kind of look at. So hopefully that made sense. And I can help anybody if you need individual help, you know, after this or this week at any time.
Travis, can I interject something that's been helpful for me? And I'm not sure if mine's just set up different or what, but I know under that, when you go in and you're searching, there's a couple check mark boxes under the search boxes. One of them says hide. I think it says hide if it doesn't have any students enrolled, which are old courses, hide courses without students. That helps filter it down a great deal for me as I'm looking through to make sure I'm not clicking on something that someone's Canvas course previously.
There's another question about re-engagement strategies. So item number 8 on the observation, how does the teacher re-engage students when not participating? Travis or Doug, either one of you want to address that one?
So let me, you save me some typing because I was starting to type up on that one. Number one, I think this brings up the point, don't finalize your observation until you've talked to the people, right? Because sometimes we may not see everything. This is difference where it is a snapshot, but you also have I believe, yeah, with the digital observation, if it's fully remote that you're looking at, things like that, you have the opportunity to bring them in and to talk about this and what are your re-engagement strategies. So you can bring that up. But in your collaboration, in your things like that, what are the efforts? I think we should know what our teachers are doing to get students involved in the instruction. We're all having struggles with students who are not logging in at all on remote learning days. And so let's talk about what it is that they're doing. And as I'm looking at things where I have students here in class, it's real easy to be able to see those re-engagement strategies as well. But you can see that through collaboration and through notes that the teachers are putting on their assignments. Travis, you have more thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. We can look. There's some diagnostic tools available in Canvas. I would avoid just looking at logged in time if you know how that works. But you can see if a student's logged in for a certain amount of time, it's better to use some of the other diagnostics tool. And that would be maybe a separate conversation to walk you through some of those. But you can see if a student's logged in or not. and you can watch in class and see where students are there. And then sometimes, honestly, it's a problem with, as I look at teachers' materials, it's not organized well. And students, they're there, they've been logged on, they've checked things, but they just don't understand what they're even doing. Maybe there's not instructions there. And that's an excellent opportunity to kind of do some coaching there with a teacher in a positive way, and say, you know, what have you tried with this student? Do you think the student understands? Have you ever asked them just one-on-one, you know, do they understand this? Do they know what the assignment is? And that's a good conversation to have.
Yeah, I just want to add that the actual re-engagement strategies that Travis and Doug talked about are great, but it's also that what are teachers doing when kids are not logging in, or they're logging in and not participating? Are they making phone calls? Are they sending emails? Do they have a classroom, a class text message, or what's going out to help bring those kids back in? So especially in remote learning, whether it's on Fridays or every other day, however that looks, it's how am I, the teacher, getting people, getting my students engaged in the learning? If they're not participating, how do I bring them in? So the question asked, is it reflected in the Canvas course or more of what's happening what the teacher is doing during class? And it's a little bit of both. So you can be looking at both of those. Couple of elementary people are saying they can't see special education. If you're at the elementary level and have resource teachers, they typically don't have students attached to them in Encore. I know they're attached in My Idea, but they're not in Encore. And so that's why you can see your EE classes, because those are attached to the teacher. If you can't see what you're looking for in Canvas, maybe you don't have the right permissions, you could contact Lisa Lomax, and she should help. She should be able to help you with that. Tammy Oliver is asking, is there an observation toolkit for the digital form? I'm in the process right now of creating evidence and red flags. But in the meantime, if you look at the regular observation, you will see that many of the look fors and red flags are identical, just looking at it in a slightly different way as the regular teaching observation. Other questions? Doug did mention that the teaching and learning department is going to be coming in to talk to elementary principals about getting into the Canvas courses as well.
Yeah, I just know that there's been some concern, you know, what Travis showed. I don't think we've ever even had a training on that officially. And so we're trying to get teaching and learning to come in and help us to know to do those things and how to navigate it a little bit more and see it from different views and things like that.
Okay. Some other folks are trying to help Michelle get into the resource classes. Again, I would touch base with Lisa Lomax.
Suzanne, just side note, if you can't see a teacher, there's a couple of things. I think Suzanne mentioned the one is that no students may be attached, so there's no course for them. Second is the teacher possibly hasn't set anything up, and then you don't have anything to view. You'll just get the page that says add a module or whatever. And if those two aren't the case, then yeah, you'll want to get in contact with Lisa Lomax and find out if there's some other issue that she would be able to see or the IT department be able to see.
Great.
Suzanne, I have a couple of thoughts.
Yes.
I was thinking as people were talking about it, you know, this is one of those things that we suggest that everyone do as an administrative team some observation rounds at the beginning of the year to make sure your inter-rater consistency is good. And we suggest that also with this digital learning observation. I would suggest that you guys, if you haven't already, go in and just browse through several teachers' Canvas courses, go into classrooms with the while they're teaching and look at their Canvas courses while they're teaching so that you can kind of get an idea of how they're using Canvas, both with students who are remote and students in class, or other digital platforms and technologies that they might be using, so that you have kind of a baseline. Like, take a look at some of those that you think are your best and some of those maybe that are struggling. So before you start rating, you have a pretty good idea of what effectiveness looks like. And then again, to do it with your team so that you can have conversations about the things that you guys are seeing. And finally, I really appreciated Doug's comments about sitting down with the teacher and Travis of kind of deciding as you're in the moment of what's, you know, what which observation you're going to actually use. That's just a great example of using it this year for learning. I mean, sometime in the future, we probably would say, you know, you'll always want to have conversations with the teacher, of course, as post-observation. But at some point, we probably would say, like, we want you to just give feedback on what you saw while you were in there, similar to what you do with the typical classroom observation. We don't have conversations with them before we finalize ratings, because we want it just to be an objective snapshot of what we see, knowing that so many things are happening in there that we don't see or we don't know about. That kind of keeps us as somewhat objective as we can be and creates that inter-rater consistency. But this year is really not the year to do that with your digital learning observation. This is a year to decide, you know, we're going to make sure that we have conferencing and provide feedback and make sure that teachers aren't more stressed than they were prior. But those are just a few thoughts. And I think one of the values of this is that it provides sort of a blueprint for teachers about what effectiveness looks like in a digital/remote environment, which, you know, I think we've said these are good ideas, but we've not really said to them like this, these are kind of the things that really create an effective implementation of instruction in this format. So.
I'm just going to add one more thing that the teachers really emphasized during the summer when I was working with them, and that was they really keyed in on online learning should be very carefully looked at so that it's the essential stuff, and that we're not seeing someone just uploading worksheets the students then do. So meaningful learning is happening in those remote or hybrid pieces.
Yeah, I'm going to add and dovetail on that. You know, we talked a little bit in principal liaison this morning about engagement. And I think one of the most important things we can do this year is help our teachers see that when we're talking about remote or digital learning, we're not talking about just sticking assignments in there that maybe you used to use in class, that eventually, and of course, that's sort of how we start, right? But eventually we want to create this really exciting, engaging learning for all of our students so that they're excited about going into their digital environment and seeing what their teachers are providing for them and what excited to get feedback, specific feedback from their teachers or engage in conversations with their peers. So I think, we don't want to set the bar to be unattainable this year, of course, but as you go out and are reviewing many of the things that your teachers are doing, you'll see, just like you do in class, you know, some really shining examples of what you hope to see in everyone's class eventually. And this tool gives you the opportunity to start having conversations about other things that people can do. So.
All right, I think I'm going to wrap everything up. thank you to, big thank you to Travis and Doug for their time and insight. Very much appreciate that. And thank you for being here this morning. If you have additional questions, please send them to me and I'll try to address them as they come up. Thank you.